Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, there it is. I like our new song. Hey, guys, we are here at AfterBuzz TV doing our weekly recap show for How to Get Away with Murder. It is episode 3, and this episode is called, it's called The Octopus. So I'm sure all of you out there probably did what we did, unless you're more sophisticated than we are and know what the octopus sex position is. We did not know. We looked it up. It's kind of actually interesting, so I feel like you guys should all look it up, octopus sex position. I'm not telling you whether or not to try it, because I don't want some people to get hurt, or it looks a little complicated, but pretty much there's legs and arms on the outside. There is
necessary.
A little bit of athleticism and flexibility required for this sexual position. True. But and you know what I was going to say? I feel like I would have liked it to end with Connor and Oliver doing this position. That's what I thought was coming. I was a little bit disappointed.
I don't even know if it would have worked with two guys. I mean, I guess you could play with anyone, but
yeah, I think it would work. Yes.
Yeah, I guess I'm surprised that no one started doing the position. Other than I think the one guy was explaining it, the barista.
Right.
You know what I think? What a way to begin a show, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying. And again, you guys on the West Coast, pause us till later because we know that you haven't seen it yet and we don't want you to watch it right yet because we're going to talk about it and we don't want to spoil it for you. But yeah, I feel like I wanted some. The only other octopus reference that was in there, I think we can kill the music now.
Yeah.
But I think the only other octopus reference was that woman saying that she had 8 orgasms, which I think played in a row. That's pretty, I mean, the whole show is, what'd you say?
There's a lot of eights. A
lot of eights, I mean, alright, let's move on into our recap. Now that you've all looked up the octopus position, if it was a different time of day, we would probably put that slide up of what it looks like, but that is not what we do here at AfterBuzz TV. So let's get right into
it. Keep it PG.
Keep it PG.
PG-13, at least.
Yeah, it's PG-13. I guess you can't really talk about sex PG, PG-13. I don't know.
I mean, before we talk about anything, I think we should throw down a little bit of an introduction here for
those of us who have not listened.
Steph is, like, really into all this sex talk that she's like, you know what? They know who we are. They know our Twitter.
They don't need to deal with us. I mean, that's right. Well, you guys, if you want to tweet me along the way,
to find out more about the octopus.
To find out more about the octopus, you can find me at IAMSTEFZ. My lovely panel tonight, where can they find you, Jillian?
You can find me at Jillian Leff on Twitter, and I don't know, I think it's because you're still on London time from last week. It was actually Steph's birthday.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, girl.
Thank you. I am a little bit wacky on the time, apparently. I'm like staying up at night. Excuse the delirium. And where can we find you, JB?
You guys can find me at JB_Zimmerman on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, you've done the octopus.
A gentleman doesn't kiss and tell.
All right.
Wow,
I like
keeping
that.
It classy.
I like that. All right. All right. Not me. No, okay. So we open this scene again. We're seeing how this show, clearly something is going to happen to Annalise. We're not quite sure what that is, but we have, again, the opening of her, and we see that now she's not dead. I don't think we ever thought she was dead at first when we saw her bleeding on the ground. Did you guys think she was going to be dead?
I mean, she's the show, so I feel like I don't know if I would be watching as intensely. I mean, it's a great show. There's a great cast all around, but she is the core. I mean, I go for Viola.
Right. I mean, listen, we saw her dying. She was still breathing. I don't count anything out. Although we did find out something new this episode, which is that Nate called her and she tried to answer the phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. So we see her phone ringing and we see Nate calling. But the bigger takeaway for me from that scene is we see Nate being like, come on, Annalise, pick up. So we know that Nate knows Annalise is in trouble. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's, how is that going to add up and play? I mean, who knows? How does he know? Because Wes, I don't know. There's a lot there that's happening that I feel like is going to be, you know, we've got a bunch more. We got 10 more episodes? 13? Is that what they got this season? 20? What do they have?
I'm sure.
There's a break now.
Full order again.
Full order, yeah.
Originally when we saw her student crew, like, kind of help her out and then just bolt, I was like, well, some students they are. Like, they just left her to die, basically. But I feel like there's a lot more than we know. I mean, I know, sort of fast-forwarding to the end scene from this episode with Nate, it looked like everything from the murder last season, but it might not be. Maybe I feel like now they might be revisiting the scene. Like, Nate got his job back, which we learned about.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's helping them for a new murder, or maybe going back to cover some stuff up.
So something. You think...
Or maybe they're burying Rebecca there. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the scene that we saw that for a second, as I was watching it, I thought it was like, oh, well, was Nate involved in the original murder? Now
oh, you
I
mean
think
like in the woods? Then
yeah, yeah. The woods. So you think... Yeah,
now it, I think it's
that's,
more recent.
I like that.
And that's why maybe he like heard from the kids and is racing to help... Annalise, now that's my current prediction.
Wait, I know so time out. I just want to be clear because I know we. This
yeah,
is
wait,
like,
I'm a little
like
confused.
Yeah,
a lot
I want to be clear. Let me try and walk us through
Let's
here. Let's see. So you think that the scene with Nate, and yes, we do know that he gets his job back because he is in police uniform, mm-hmm. Or detect whatever uniform, an officer of some kind. You think that he's picking up the kids from the original scene
no,
of Burning
well, I mean,
Sam?
As I was watching it, I thought that because it looked like the same setting in terms of the wooded area that they're in. I mean,
oh, yeah, no, it's not. They're...
But, you know, then I realized that because obviously Annalise was setting him up with his job back or a cop position. I don't know if it's the exact same job.
Right.
That he would be in uniform, that he knows them and would help.
See,
that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I think that Nate and Annalise were fast-forwarding to... Because we see Nate say... Well, I don't know. We see Nate say that he's not ready for her yet, but he's not saying, no, I'm just not...
Right.
I need more time. So I'm thinking that they're together now. That's why he knows she's there. But who knows if they're together just because... I mean, clearly we see Wes at Nate's when he says that. So I don't know if he's with Annalise just to get her back. But what would they be trying to get her back with? I don't know. There's always so many questions. I love it.
Well, but also when... So we didn't see it this episode, but I think it was last week or even the week before. When they're standing over Annalise's body and she's bleeding out, essentially... Wes says, I called the cops. So what if I called the cops mean I called Nate? Because Nate's a cop. So they're, like, expecting someone to come. I mean, they're in the house. I feel like, I don't know, it's one of those things where we're going to find out everything's connected. And the first scene made so much more sense to me after seeing the last scene where now we find out that Wes is in on something with Nate, whatever that may be.
Right. Well, I mean, my interpretation of that was that when he found out who Eggs was, or, I mean, I guess Eggs is Rebecca, but Eggs is brother,
right?
Mm-hmm. That he sort of is figuring out if there's more to Annalise that she's covering up, and so he obviously went to Nate knowing how close they were to see if he could find out anything more.
But the distress is still throwing me off. Like
the distress of who?
The distress of Nate in the phone call to Annalise. Pick up your phone. I need to know you're okay.
Well, I think he still cares. I feel like Nate and Annalise really do care about each other. They're using each other and playing each other. But I feel like under all that, because the trust has been broken, there is a solid relationship. Right?
Dysfunctional for sure. But definitely, I think they do care about each other legitimately.
Yeah. No, I agree. They're octopusing. I'm just kidding.
I'm pretty sure they invented the octopus.
Probably. Okay, yeah, so let's touch on that. We see Eggs again, who we think is Eggs. Mm-hmm. We see the scene where Michaela shows Wes the picture, and Wes clearly has the connection. And again, Wes is keeping that connection to himself. Mm-hmm. So he thinks he's Eggs, and then we learn that he's actually Rebecca's stepbrother. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of step.
See, I think he's the one that's going to kill Annalise.
Really?
That he's going to try and kill Annalise.
Because they find out that
Rebecca was killed.
Interesting.
That's my takeaway from that. I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, I it's definitely messy, and I feel like I really want to get to the other lawyer. She
or Asher kills.
I don't know. You think he has that in him? I mean, I don't even know. Speaking of Asher, I don't even know what happened with Tiffany and him. Like, he probably...
Oh, yeah, Tiffany.
Yeah, well, let's go to that. Let's move to that. I know this show, it's really hard to keep it in chronological order because it bounces, but we can talk about each person and situation. I feel like that's the easiest. But I feel like talking about Asher, the fact that he went to his dad, to me, makes me wonder and almost want to rewatch the episodes from last year where we had some of him and his dad, because I feel like it's clear that Asher did something, maybe killed this Tiffany, and the father covered it up for him.
Right.
Yeah.
It's clear that something to that extent is happening, because number one, it's established that he doesn't like his father too much. They don't have a good relationship. Number two, it's established that he is, you know, a pretty powerful man.
Yeah, well, look at the first thing that we hear from his dad. You know, did your mom put you up to this? Why are you here? Like, I don't talk to you. You know, so we know their relationship is obviously still strained. Last season, we saw it. So, for me, this whole time, you know, we're always talking about, like, oh, Asher the goon, he doesn't know anything. But I'm kind of excited. Like, I'm actually really excited. And now that he's sort of, he's really in it deep because he cares for Bonnie and he let Bonnie go to not reveal the sort of hole that he's dug himself in with this DA informant business.
Oh, see, I agree with you that he cares about Bonnie, but I think he let Bonnie go because he wanted to protect her.
Well, no, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's like really, he is in it. Like, he has dug a hole for himself now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice that in season two he has like a much more fleshed out character role and a real purpose within the show. I mean, before he was just sort of crazy Asher.
Yeah, comedic relief. Like,
Which, but I mean, he still has that.
He's still doing like the lines, like the sexual healing and the indecent exposure.
That elephant move. I don't know how that worked on Bonnie. I lost some disrespect for her there.
Yeah, that was pretty weak.
Come on.
That was pretty weak.
Classic Asher.
I feel like, too, I kind of want to start something. As I was watching, I want to start a weekly thing.
Right.
And I want you guys out there to participate, because we get lots of fan interaction. We get lots of comments. We appreciate all them. You guys, while you're on that YouTube page, click subscribe. Leave us a comment. You guys can also watch us on iTunes, SoundCloud. Give us some stars. And we do. We love the interaction. What I would like to do is I would like to start having a quote of the week, because there are so many amazing quotes in this show. There are so many great, smart, witty one-liners. So for today's, I had two. Okay?
Two. Excellent.
And we're going to get there of why we have. But one, it says, I'll make it clear I did not kill anyone with my vagina. I feel like that was a pretty,
that was a good one.
Pretty good start.
That was a pretty good start. And the other one was, find me a pervert.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like there's so many good one-liners. So you guys out there watching, write us your favorite quote of the night. Because I feel like sometimes you miss exactly what they say because it's so good. And to be able to read a lot of those one-liner quotes, I think would be really fun.
Also, we can't rewind. Yeah. So we're just going off a first impression. We're watching this thing live. We're about to do it. That's it. We walk in here. We talk to you people. And that's how we do it.
Yeah. So again, I challenge you guys. Give us your quote of the show. And next week, because I only thought of it during the middle of the show, but next week I want you guys to each have, we all have a quote, because then we can see if we think it's the same.
You're challenging us right now?
No, I'm not challenging you. I'm
accepted.
All right, if it needs to be a challenge, fine.
I'll hope you guys will participate.
Oh, you got one.
Off the top of my head.
All right, let's see.
I mean, I'll have to rewatch the episode, but off the top of my head right now, I'm thinking Annalise's response to how do you sleep at night? And she said, alone, on very comfortable sheets.
Yes.
Pretty badass.
That. I like that.
Do you have one, Jillian, or?
Are you kidding? No.
All right. Fine.
I literally can barely understand what happened this episode. We're breaking it down by character. I'm getting it, but.
I know. It's a lot.
A lot happened.
Yes.
Yeah. It's intense.
I have
it's
my notes, intense. But feel this, back. It could mean nothing right now.
True. All right. Great. We'll keep moving on, but let's talk about Catherine and Caleb. Now, what is happening with those
two? Very strange.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week when you were gone, I believe. Or maybe it was off camera. I can't remember now.
We talked about it when the week before last week, too, how we were thinking it might be incestuous.
One thing I will say is I feel like this show has always sort of had, like, the subtext of sexuality and, like, that, like, whole sex energy. I mean, we talked a lot about it with Annalise and Wes. I mean, there's been a lot of affairs back and forth. It was nice that they just sort of almost, like, got it all out of their system. Right. I mean, it's probably still going to be around in the themes of this show, but it was nice that they were just like, okay.
Let's do an episode
about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like these two characters, the Caleb and
Catherine,
thank you. Mm-hmm.
No problem.
I feel like they sort of act as kind of a conduit for, like, the messiest that it can possibly get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's clear. They're from different nationalities, backgrounds. So it's clear, or maybe I'm not clear, are they adopted or is
one of them, they're both separately adopted?
Yeah, so they were both adopted to Grant and Ursula.
That's not really incest.
It's not, but I mean, when you grow up with someone as your sibling, even if you're not blood related, I feel like there's some ickiness.
Definitely ickiness, but not crazy, I mean, not icky.
Like, probably, I guess, not legally illegal or like wrong.
Well, I don't know, morally.
I don't know the right word.
I don't know. I wouldn't do it, though.
Listen,
I do not condone that.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it in, I don't want to bring, you know, Bobby Christina and Nick Gordon into it, but they were brother and sister and they also dated. So it's like, you know, it happens and it's just, it is what it is. But Michaela's the one that said, she's like, well, on paper, they're brother and sister and that's just weird. So to them, like Annalise said, to a jury, you're going to be seen as this incestuous, you know, whatever, lovers. And for me, it kills me that they're continuing to lie to Annalise about it because, I don't know, the picture to me, I bought the picture. If they're telling the truth and they're saying that they're not together, whatever, but pictures are very telling to me, at least.
So you bought that they're together from the picture?
I really do, because we had mentioned it before, like, just the way that they look at each other, and it's not brother and sisterly. Like, I don't look at my brother that way.
No, I completely agree with you. I have a brother, too. It's not... I mean, only Angelina Jolie and her brother do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't but it's like, I can think back to that scene where she's painting, right? I'm trying to close my eyes, picture it. She's painting and she's like, where were you tonight?
You know what's crazy?
Like, what?
Someone actually tweeted me, maybe it was to all of us, I'm not sure, the picture of the picture that she was painting. It was like this commercial print. They sent me the actual photograph of what she was trying to paint. It was like some just random picture of this family portrait.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like since episode one, these two have had a very Lannister-y relationship with each other.
Right,
like, it's just...
Well, what do we think?
Oh my god, Game of Thrones reference, because so much.
Do we think that the parents were bad to them? I mean, like, who would want to kill your parents if they adopted you? I feel like you would feel thankful. Like, what do we think? And I know we don't know the answers. It's just randomly, though, like, off the top of your head, what do we think is the motive for killing them? Do we think it's the money? It seems too easy that it's the money.
Definitely easy, but, I mean, I feel like Annalise was sort of uncovering that if they were removed from the will, obviously that's something that would upset them. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
growing
up.
For so long, they've been having, like, why all of a sudden now do they think they'll be removed from the will? I feel like there's got to be another layer.
So that something happened.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be the nanny is suspect to me.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
That's always there, that's always, like, been watching, I feel like.
Oh, the housekeeper.
The housekeeper, thank you. That's close.
Do you think the housekeeper killed them?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, she could definitely have motive. Maybe she was never included in the will and sort of, like, raised those two and you know, was... She seems like such a big part of
the
family.
I don't know.
That, you know, it's...
No idea, because then in last week's episode, the housekeeper was so adamant about not wanting to be involved in any of it, and now this week, she's answering questions, and it's very odd to me, because last week she wanted nothing to do with it, and this week she's sitting down with them and talking about it. I don't know. She just needs to spill the tea. I'm over this.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, we see the scene of Annalise going through what could possibly be the motives here. So that's why, for me, it was that it could be more than one thing. Mm-hmm. A bunch of things. Because why now? Why? There's got to be a reasoning Is Catherine pregnant? Is there something that's going to be telling that they are? You know what I mean? Right. Like, why all of a sudden is there this urgency to kill our parents? Neither one of them old. Neither one of them sick. They seem to be living pretty well. Why do they need the money right now? If it is the money.
Right. Well, it also seems strange that, you know, supposedly the parents were very loving with the kids. Like,
right.
I feel like it'd be very aggressive for them to all of a sudden pull them completely out and, like, cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, zero money at all.
Right.
Wouldn't it be crazy?
For just, like, something like that. Like, something, like, where they were adopted. They're not, you know, related by blood, so
yeah.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it like had nothing to do with the kids and it just had to do with something with their business?
Yeah, just
like somebody really wanted to off them.
That wanted to rip them off. They were mugged. And
yeah,
I don't know. Like,
I hope they don't do that. I mean, it's possible. It would definitely be another
twist. It would be a throwaway, but at the same time, we also have to deal with, you know, the case that the DA is going to bring on Annalise. So for me, I thought about it for a solid 5 days. Like, I talked about it with friends at work. I talked about it with some people here at AfterBuzz. I feel like nobody has any idea. And Annalise maybe doesn't either. Or, you know, so she's saying, I mean, we watched her ramble in a tape recorder for about 5 minutes on all of the possible things that she thinks could be motive. And she really has no leads or no idea.
Do we ever hear about Rebecca's parents?
Well, we heard about the stepdad.
I mean, just a little bit, yeah, from this episode with
the stepdad.
She dropped
scenario.
The eggs, and then
yeah, that's
he made
super
her
gross.
Eat the eggs
and unsanitary salmonella people.
Yeah.
Right. I'm wondering if there's a tie to Rebecca's brother, stepbrother, to Catherine and Caleb's parents.
I don't know if it's that deep.
All right. Well, we'll see. Yeah.
But I do want to talk about one connection which we didn't touch upon, but I feel like we need to.
Which one?
The door shot.
Yeah, no, I did mention it earlier.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
okay.
But we can totally talk about that again. You know, we do see that Annalise. Well, what stood out for you? Because I just mentioned earlier how we see that Annalise and Wes have that split door shot. Then Wes and Nate have the split door shot. So it's pretty much, I feel like Wes is playing Nate to try and figure out with Annalise. But one of them happens before.
Yeah.
Wes has the interaction with. Do we know the brother's name? Did we get his name?
Which brother?
The stepbrother, Rebecca's stepbrother.
Levi.
Levi, that's it. So one of them happened before we met Levi, and Wes and Levi had that interaction, and one of them was after. So that, to me, is tricky. What was your takeaway from
I don't know what they're trying to parallel. Like, that's what I'm confused about, because to me, I really paid more attention to the first split screen with Annalise and Wes, because again, we talked about this last week, but it's like there's some sort of relationship there, and I don't know when the writers are going to tell us what the hell all of it means, but just both of them sort of in the same frame, separated.
Yeah, I mean, to me,
thinking about something, what are they thinking about? It's just like this unspoken thing, and it like irks me. I need to know.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, to me, it was just the division of the characters that were the closest. I mean, obviously, Annalise and Wes shared a very intense moment after, you know, they both realized what had happened with Sam and that whole murder.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Nate and Annalise were very close, having been in a relationship. So it's sort of pulling them apart and showing the divide, at least to me, that, you know, these characters are definitely not on the same mm-hmm. side right now.
Do we think Nate knows that how Sam died? Do we think Wes told Nate?
No, I don't think Wes told Nate that he killed Sam.
No, I mean, I'm just curious at the end when we see them get in the car. So I don't know. I feel like at some point Nate's going to find
out. But yeah, another thing I think is just important, because it was like almost the exact same door shot.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, both of all those characters were talking about each other or involved. You know, when Wes was leaving Annalise, he had said, like, do you miss him? And he met Nate. And then when, obviously, Annalise came to Nate's house, Wes was there. So it's an interesting, like, parallel scene where the three characters are connected.
Yeah, well, about that scene, too, what was interesting to me was that she actually was thinking about Sam. She was actually thinking that Wes would be, did you miss Sam? Not, did you miss Nate? Like, why would Wes be saying that?
Well, I don't know. To me, maybe Wes knows Emily sort of like more than herself. I feel like she's sort of in denial about her feelings about Nate.
Yeah. The only thing that I read into it was that Wes knows that Annalise killed Rebecca because it was asking about the one that they were together with that was dead.
Well, yeah, I think he suspects something is amiss. I mean, it's pretty close. She didn't do it, but she's definitely involved.
Well, she definitely knows that Rebecca's dead.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, obviously the flashbacks of from Wes sort of thinking back about what she was saying and how she was acting at the club and everything. So he's definitely got his suspicions, but
yeah. So confused. Just like
I know, Wes. I love
it. The thing is, it's like if they just literally just talked about everything, put all the cards on the table, like they would those three characters at least, I think, could all handle the truth.
It's hard because what I'm struggling with this show is I do love it, but the way that they're developing the characters and revealing the information to us, I'm clouded with so many other things that they're now adding because now we're not in an expository period with these people. We know a little bit about them. We know their story. And for me, I just really need them to trim the fat because they're not telling me what I need them to tell me. And I don't know because now it's going to be one of those situations where we have, you know, a 22-episode season.
Yeah, where we could have done it in 11.
And it's like, it's painful because we watch television now, a lot of, you know, series sort of similar to this where we get 13 episodes and they're cramming sort of a lot of information into a short amount of time. And I'm a little frustrated with this week because I think that I'm not fully understanding things because we're being clouded with so many sort of unnecessary moments. And I don't know if I'm the only one that feels that way. I love it, but I wish that they would just...
Well, what are you clouded with? Because maybe some of the viewers out there are clouded and we clear out. I feel like I still have no idea why things are happening, but I'm clear with what's happening. There's a difference.
Why?
You know?
What did I just watch? We found a couple things, but I'm like, what did I just see?
All right, so let's just keep going through it then. Mm-hmm. So the things that... Well, we'll trim some of the fat. We see that... You know, Annalise passes out. Yeah. She's drinking again. She's on a binge. But in that, we see that Asher is still being a mole. He's in the house. He's stealing her recorder. He's giving it to the lawyer because clearly this goes back to the Trotter Late that we were talking about earlier. So clearly this happy-go-lucky or innocent Asher does not exist. Right. There's a lot deeper to that. We see that Annalise and Nate's lawyer get called out. That was a pretty amazing scene in the courtroom where, what's her name? The lawyer? Annalise's ex-girlfriend?
Eve
puts Annalise on the stand. Very interesting way she gets Nate out of trouble. Almost the same almost the same heat that Annalise puts on to get, you know, her case won.
Right.
I feel like it was a very similar, like it's showing that their lawyering style is very similar. But I don't think Eve plays that much anymore. Maybe she'll be called back upon.
Well, the email was a little teasy, you know, like, I miss you. I hate that. You know, they sort of ended things and it sucks because I think Annalise, you know, obviously she gets ready. We think that she's getting ready for the sex party and then the big reveal is that she's at Nate's and it's whatever, but I think we'll find out a lot more next week when we finally meet Nate's wife, who's still alive, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I mean, dude, how bad of a husband is Nate right now that his wife has been alive and like very able to speak and like aware of what's going on. I feel like
we're gonna find out more to that story.
Oh, for sure.
But so let's get back to Tanya, and we have Tanya's case where again she apparently was having sex with Dominic, and Dominic died. And this case plays because we actually see that, well, we see a lot of things in here. The biggest takeaway from me in this whole case was seeing that Connor went to a sex party and Connor was true to Oliver. We see that they finally are able to have sex. Yeah. We see that, you know, Oliver was upset with Connor for telling people, but Connor told, you know, the rest of his classmates, which we definitely seeing an evolution of Connor's character, I think, and I like it. I love the two of them together. They're dealing with some really intense things, and I think that they're dealing with it in any way, shape, or form that we would all wish we dealt with it if it was our partner. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's really cool. So, and we see Connor still showing up in a way. I mean, Oliver's still showing up in a way where he's hacking into police reports. Oh, no, that was last week.
That was last week.
But we still see their relationship. It's strong. It's solid. Mm-hmm. We see another relationship we see some of is Frank and Laurel. I mean, what's going on there? Do you guys think that it's real? Do you think that they really want to get to know each other and to have a relationship? Or do you think that Laurel's playing Frank, Frank's playing Laurel? What do you read from that relationship?
I think so. I mean, I feel like they're both sort of able to get dark with each other. And that's sort of a good support system. Obviously, Frank has done some pretty intense stuff. I mean, yeah. We don't even know. Obviously, he killed...
Lila.
Yeah.
Do we think that he'll tell Laurel that he killed Lila?
Well, he said in the car, you know, you only want to know the good stuff. There's plenty of bad stuff.
But I don't think he was referring to Lila. I think he was referring to his more stuff of his childhood and stuff.
I think he was referring to a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure she falls into that, but I feel like it was something else.
Yeah, I feel like he's definitely at one phone call, like, go and kill a sorority girl and, like, dump her in the water tower.
Yeah.
You know, you must have had a reputation before that.
You know, it's interesting that Lila dies in the water tower, and now we're introduced to this murder or whatever this situation with this Tiffany girl with Asher, and it's also a water situation.
Right.
Yes, the
lake. So that's interesting. It could have nothing to do with each other.
I actually really liked the case this week because I actually host another after show for AfterBuzz, The Fosters, and Sherry Somm, who played Tanya, actually is one of the main characters on The Fosters. Completely different character. She plays sort of like this hippy-dippy, free-love, lesbian mom who has some adopted kids, and she's a vice principal of a school. And it's kind of great to see her like this. All of the Fosters fans were tweeting me during the episode, freaking out, like, can you believe this? I'm like, Sherry, you're a prostitute. But yeah, I liked seeing the other side of things. And again, like I said last week, it was a breath of fresh air to see a new case, because I didn't think that we'd be getting that this season.
Yeah. No, I think we'll definitely, we have to.
I thought maybe they were just going to focus on Catherine and Caleb and Annalise's situation.
No, and I like how they're having other cases, but somehow they're all intertwined to the bigger cases that are happening. Mm-hmm. It's all connected. And, I mean, I love where we're at right now in the season. I feel like we are going to find out more soon. We're going to find out about...
I hope so.
We have to.
I do like how there's some procedural stuff that is just one-off in the episode, but it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like, okay, this is the case, like, from start to finish, that's it. It doesn't feel like there's been different writers writing episode 1, 2, and 3. It feels like a cohesive season, definitely, so far, which is great. You know, a lot of shows, just to get the episodes out. I mean, if this was a full season order, that's a lot of pressure on writers. So, you know, I'm glad that it seems like a team is, you know, conscious of what they promote in episode 1 versus the finale.
I'm just saying, stop teasing me. Nobody likes to tease. Nobody.
Yeah, but they keep coming back for more.
Listen, I'll still be here like next week.
I know. The other thing that we learn is that Michaela has never had an orgasm.
Tragic.
It's pretty tragic.
Well, she did, date a gay guy.
Yeah.
He never.
She was engaged to a gay guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting that it keeps coming back to her relationship in a way.
I don't know. Maybe that's also why she's so uptight.
Yeah, I was going to say, it explains a lot for me, at least.
Yeah.
She just is such like a... Yeah, that type of person. That's like,
imagine
when
she lost her ring. That could have totally helped. Jeez.
Oh, you are funny. The other thing that stood out for me again was Annalise and her ways. How, in order to get Nate his job back, she totally took a piece of evidence and tampered with it, pretty much.
Well, we know she's a bad girl.
She's got some very interesting moral code.
Yeah,
which is to say, almost none at all.
Yeah. But in a way that works.
Yeah.
I'd want her to be my lawyer if I ever got in trouble.
Again. I mean, it, again, adds up to a lot. Obviously, she is a bit of an alcoholic at night. You know, she's got a bit of a rage. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's funny because Tanya's character, the last thing she says with her after she pukes in the bathroom, she's like, how can you live with yourself? Yeah. How do you sleep?
And yeah. She's like, well, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, like expensive vodka.
Yeah. I mean, Annalise is sort of on autopilot at this point. I just know we always talk about how she's full of layers and she shows us something new every single episode. But once the DA gets this case going, or now that she's moved, I guess, whoever starts up with Annalise's situation again puts the pressure on her, I think that's going to lead to another breakdown.
Right.
Yeah, but I feel like she's in her quote-unquote alcoholism or rants, whatever, she's at least now saying it. She's not making pretend it doesn't exist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is better...
She's very honest with who she is. Yeah,
she knows what's happening. She's not deluded by that. Like, she doesn't think she's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because that would almost be worse for her state of mind, I would think.
Well, it's also, I think, the trade-off for, right. I mean, getting away with murder, which she does as a job. She gets people off of, like, literally the most heinous thing you can possibly do.
But in the same sense, she's never committed the murders.
Right. Yet. But, yeah, I'm just saying to get there and to, like, know that, like, your clients have done these things and to still get them off, like, you have to really alter your state of mind. And that's sort of the toll that it takes on you.
Yeah. No, I get it. Is there anything else that I've missed that you guys want to talk about that happened in this episode? Again, so much information. So much.
Yeah, it's I can barely keep my head on straight. I don't know. I'm excited to see what's to come, I
guess. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I guess one important piece of info that we did get, I want to make sure to mention, is that the events from where we are now and Annalise bleeding out is 7 weeks. Because they said, like,
Fresh
7 weeks ago. So
last week it was 2 months, wasn't it? Or was that the week before?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah. What was the timeline, guys? Let us know.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because that means in 7 episodes it would be the longest that we would have to wait to find out what happens. So that would be before the end of this season, if they're going to play it like a normal timeline.
Well, if we think about it this way, we probably have 2 more weeks in October, and then it'll go on a holiday break.
Just bust out the calendar.
Because they won't do it on Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. So, I don't know. They need to leave us with some sort of shocker, because what happens is they go on a break the week of Thanksgiving, and then after that, they'll come back for, like 2 or 3 episodes, and then we're done, and we take a big sort of winter break, and then all the shows come back in mid to late January.
Well, we could find out more by the mid-season finale. I feel like that's enough time.
Oh, my God. Oh, we have to. They're not going to leave us hanging.
There's going to be the, like, resolution period, which could take, you know, the when we come back.
Right.
Next year.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting to see, though.
My God, guys. Yeah.
And we also see that, I don't know if you guys talked about this last week, that Sinclair is also lying dead in the house. So there's a turn.
Yeah, I love how there's, that, like, barely any mention of her. It's just, like, the above wide shot. Like,
well, I want to know who she is. There's got to be some reason why she's the one that knows about Asher's past.
Right.
Yeah.
Why she's got this vendetta against Annalise.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really. Like, she is, you know, framing.
But
she's
so
like
did, so did Asher's father didn't like Annalise. So maybe there's some connection with Sinclair and Asher's father.
We'll see. Throwing
it up, see what sticks.
We'll see.
All right. Well, anything else before we give our last predictions and wrap this up?
No.
What you got, JB? What's your last prediction? What's going to happen next episode? What are we going to find out?
Like you said, Jillian, I can't wait to see Nate's wife, who's been alive this whole time. Like, that's going to be a surprise. I mean, they alluded to something where, like, she wanted to die. Obviously, she's in a lot of pain, having the cancer. Mm-hmm. If it is terminal, you know, no one likes to just see their end coming at such, like, a slow way. And so slow and painful.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets Annalise to, you know, euthanize her or somehow. It's going to be intense. It's Very interesting.
I think that Annalise will. Sure. I mean, it's clear that Annalise is going to help her because she gets the pills from Frank, and Frank is asking if she's okay. So I'm sure there's some type of pills that clearly kill people. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jillian? What's your take? What do you think is going to happen? What piece of information do you think is going to make you feel better next week?
I don't know. I'm feeling empty, but I feel bad that we assumed that Nate's wife was dead because.
I don't know when we assumed that. Well, I didn't assume that.
He never talked
about her. Guys did. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
And also, it was like he came back and there was no mention of her. And we're like, what do you mean?
Well, yeah, granted, Nate probably has a life outside of the scenes we saw him in. But still, I feel
why is Annalise,
like, you should be bringing that up more.
Why is Annalise going to visit her? How does she know where she is? Maybe there's a different connection between the two of them.
This is my prediction. I think that actually Nate's wife knows exactly what has been going on with Annalise this entire time. I think Nate and his wife have a relationship where they both are very open with each other and they've told each other about you know, the things that they've done. Nate has been honest with her. I mean, listen, she's been there, and we don't see the scenes with Nate and her in the hospital room. I think that she is well aware who Annalise Keating is, and believe it or not, I bet you she is the one that asked Nate to send Annalise in, or someone got
in touch. I was just thinking that for some reason.
I feel like it's very high likelihood that she knows everything. So the fact that they would have an open relationship is something that I feel like would be the only way it would work. Because obviously there's TVs in the hospital. If she's able to speak with Annalise that well, then she obviously saw the like news stories everywhere about their affair.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it was very publicized the last season. I mean, it's probably like the biggest case since O.J. Simpson. In this universe.
I like it. All right. The prediction I'm going to leave you guys with is I think that we're going to find out about Trotter Lake. I think we're going to find out what Asher did, and we're going to, it's going to give us a complete another, I mean, we're already there almost with knowing there's another layer of Asher, but I feel like we are going to be solid and we are going to be wowed. Like, holy crap, Asher did that? How did he pull, how did that happen? I feel like we're not even close to feeling and thinking what he might have done. That's what I think. We'll see. And I mean, I love too that you guys told me that last week you're starting to come around on this Annalise and Wes mother son thing. Well, yeah, so I appreciate that.
I don't think they're bridal related. They're, to be clear,
a maternal relationship.
So. Yes. I feel we're like she maternal. Feels
they're related. We're going to end on that. Until next week, where can the people find you, JB?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JB_Zimmerman.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jillian Leff, on my Facebook page, Jillian Leff Official. Find me on Snapchat at Jillian Leff, and I also have a YouTube channel.
We can just find you everywhere. You are just made to be found, the lost and found. Yeah, and you guys can find me, Steph Z, at IAMSTEF on all... Oh, there's a Z on the end of that. On all the social media platforms. Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.